so. Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. I haven't really spoken since about last November sometime, with moving out to Boise, Idaho, and then coming here and Florida and all the rest of the places. So I was ready to leave after the kids got finished singing their songs. If you have your Bibles, open them to Acts 27. It's all about Paul being taken by ship to Rome. And we just want to start with verse 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cota, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Sistrus. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" We'll stop there. If there ever was a man who was qualified to speak about dangers at sea and experiences at sea, it was Paul. Paul was a frequent user of the ferries or the ships that they had in the Mediterranean that time. So he spoke with authority when he talked about his experiences with the seas. He was sometimes spent a night and a day in the deep, he said. He was shipwrecked 3 times. And so he had all of these experiences on which to draw. And thinking about speaking this morning, my mind went to the sea and to some of the things that are associated with the sea. We want to speak about anchors. We want to speak about other things that harbors and pilots, all connected to the sea in some way, shape, or form. Hebrews 6, 18 and 20 talks about which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We were landlubbers. We had no experience with the sea. We had no experience to what kinds of things could happen when we built our cottage out on the area near Trachyte. But we learned very quickly a lot of things. We learned a lot of things that we should do and a lot of things that we shouldn't do. And many a time we had problems with things like anchors. And our boat, perhaps because of a storm or something like that, the anchor didn't hold. Or it chafed back and forth, and the ball that was in the inside of moving back and forth became too small and came out, and the boat took off. And on the way on the other side, a couple, you know, way on the other side, we'd have to go and look for it somewhere and bring it back. So you need something like a good anchor, an anchor that really holds. And the Lord Jesus, in his book to us, has a man who wrote the book of Hebrews in 6:18 and 20 said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It's tremendous what God has done for us. He's provided that security that we need as people. We come to know him as our own personal Savior, and we pass from death to life. We're given an anchor, a sure anchor. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our hope. We all want to get to heaven. We'd all like to walk on the streets of gold. We'd like to see our relatives, our friends that have passed on. But our only chance, our only hope is in Christ. Christ is that hope that we have, that we can rest assured in knowing him as our own personal Savior. And so this morning we want to think about Christ as that anchor. It's terrible to be at sea and have that anchor not work. I remember one time my oldest son John and I were out in the ocean. It was a Saturday afternoon. There wasn't a boat on that whole ocean. And we were fishing and we were not paying much attention and we were drifting along, and suddenly became aware the anchor was not holding. And we're going along and going along, and we can't pass the big red buoy out there. And I was almost going to dive in and attach the boat to that. And I said to John, I said, let's pray. Let's pray. So we bowed our heads and we asked the Lord in some way to intervene and to get that motor started. We couldn't get it started. We pulled the thing and pulled it, and it just didn't start. And I was sitting in the bow of the boat, and John was down by the motor, and we prayed, and when we finished, I looked up, and I saw the choke was not pulled out. Now, many times you don't need it out. If the motor is warm, it'll start right up. And he pulled it out. He pulled the string cord maybe once or twice, and immediately that motor came. But I'll tell you, the feeling as you drift along and don't have the security of the boat, and you're going farther and farther out into the sea, and it's nobody around, you'll wonder what's going to do. It's a lot like people in the world today. Many a person is walking without hope, without an anchor in their lives. They've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who can give stability, the one that can give life, the one that you and I and every other person needs to know. To know Christ is to have life, for in him is life. God gave his Son that you and I might have this life more abundantly. He's our anchor. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. So I'd ask you this morning as you sit there, do I have that assurance? Have I ever trusted Christ as my Savior? Have I ever come to that point in time where I've opened my heart to receive Him in to be my Savior, to be the captain of my ship? Sir Thomas Lipton of Lipton Tea, he was an English multimillionaire because of that tea, but he was also a racer in the international yacht racing, and he, at the end of his life, he said, I'd give up every trophy I have in my collection if I had that same belief that I need. He had never taken Christ as his Savior. He had no hope of going to heaven, and he knew that. So I ask you again, do you know Christ? Can you say, He's my hope for eternity? He's my hope. He paid it all. He went to the cross. He died to give you everlasting life. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your anchor. One of the hymns that we sing sometimes, in times like this, you need a Savior. In times like this, you need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like this, you need a Savior. What's your anchor? I ask this question, you have to answer. We can only commend the Lord Jesus. So you need an anchor. You need a harbor too, within the veil. The safe harbor is heaven, isn't it? Describe more in terms of what won't be there than what is. No night, no tears, no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no death. It hath not entered into the heart of man all the things that God hath prepared for those who love Him. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. We need that safe harbor. When we first came up, everybody was talking and telling us about the Yankee Gale in the 1850s. Must have been a hurricane of major proportions, because many, many ships sank as a result of that, or were run aground. You can go up to the North Shore and you go back in the woods there, and there's a field with stones, headstones of men, sailors that lost their lives in that storm, the Yankee Gale. Tremendous thing. They had no harbor. They had no place to get in from the storm, and then when the storm was unleashed, they sank and swam, I guess, the best they could, and many, many of them didn't make it. They had no harbor. I stood along the shores of Normandy not when the troops came in, but I stood on those shores and I looked at that expanse, that area stretching for miles out that the Allies landed in the June of 44. And you look behind, you see the tremendous number of graves of those that never made it ashore. It was tremendous that they had to come in, the cliffs on the side and the German emplacement guns up there and all trained out. The troops came in and came in and came in, and thousands of them didn't make it. There was no anchor. There was no harbor for them to take shelter from all the guns and the shooting and all the things that were associated with that. May have been different. They were successful and were able to make it up the hill, the cliffs on the side, up on the top and take over, but thousands of them never made it. I'd ask you, do you have a harbor? You got a safe place to be? Christ is the harbor. Christ is the one to rest on. Christ is the one that will give you eternal life, give you a hope that reaches beyond the grave, give you a reason for living, and give you a tomorrow. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to rescue us. He came to make us His own, His very own. We have life in Christ. Have you ever come to that point in your life where you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've taken Him in, opened the heart and asked Him to come in and become your Savior? He wants to be your Savior this morning. He's the pilot for so many. He's the one that can provide calm waters and shelter. He can become the solid rock for you. Christ guarantees my safe haven. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the pilot that wants to be the one that leads you in life. He wants to be the one that strengthens you in life. He wants to be the one who you can rely on in life. When things seem black and all the world is crumbling around you, He can give you stability. He can give you what you need for every exigency that comes into your life. He's the only one that can give you salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Salvation rests in Christ. He's the rock of ages. He's the cleft for me. Apple Computer's young chairperson, Steve Jobs, tried to entice John Sculley, who was the chief CEO of Pepsi-Cola Corporation. He wanted to come out to Silicon Valley and work for him. So Sculley replied to him. He gave him back his terms. He wanted $1 million. That was what he wanted to get paid a week. He also wanted another $1 million as a bonus to come, and a third $1 million as part of a severance contract. And to top it all off, he said he didn't want to go to California, didn't want to go to out there. He wanted to stay in New York City. And Steve Jobs was flabbergasted. He gulped and agreed to these conditions on the condition that Scully would move out to California. But he said he only wanted to be a consultant. He wanted to stay in New York. He did not want to go out there. Then Jobs said to him, "Do you want to spend the rest of your life making sugar water? Or do you want to change the world by working for Apple?" And Scully, in his autobiography, said this. It said, "Jobs' challenge knocked the wind out of me." He had been caught up with his future at Pepsi-Cola, his pension, and whether his family would adopt life in California or not. He said that opportunity to change the world nearly passed me by. You know, we can apply that to ourselves too. Salvation is offered to you and to me. Salvation's a free gift which we can accept or reject. Salvation guarantees entrance into God's heaven because Jesus paid the price for our salvation. We can hear about it, we can think about it, we can read about it. But unless we receive Christ as our own personal Savior, it won't do us any good. Salvation is a reality. It can be a present possession, or we can let it go by, as Scully was going to do. You make that choice. I made the choice many, many long years ago. That night is as clear as a bell in my mind. I remember how I accepted Christ as my Savior. I've been raised in a Christian home. I'd gone to the gospel hall all my life. I'd learned all the hymns. I'd learned a lot of the choruses and the verses and all the treats and all those sorts of things, but I had never come to the place where I would accept Christ. But as a young fellow of 18 about to go into the U.S. Navy, I went to hear Jack Wirtzen preach the gospel in Waterbury, Connecticut. And that night he preached no better than the fellows at the call had preached it. It wasn't any clearer. But that night it seemed to be, it was going to be this night or no night. And the fellow came along, they had an altar call, and we didn't believe in altar calls in the hall. So I didn't go down because I knew that would not save me. And a man came along, he said, "Wouldn't you like to be saved?" As I was sitting up there in the balcony. First time in my life, I said, "Yes, I would like to be saved." He said, "Come down with me." And so we went down to the front of the church in one of the back rooms, and Norman Clayton, the hymn writer, was there, and he spoke to me. And the verse I remember clear as a bell, Romans 10 and 9, "That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." He said that verse to me. And he looked at me and said, "Well," I said, "I believe it with all my heart. He died for me. His blood was shed for me. Salvation was mine. It was a free gift." And I remember the next day, I was so happy. I couldn't I couldn't have been happier. I remember we lived out near, sort of in the country, and I walked along the railroad tracks, and there was snow all over, and I rode in the snow. God is love for the first time in my life. I came into a living relationship. But the man who is the Lord of life, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a good many years ago that I came to know him. Whom to know is life eternal. I'd recommend him. If you've never accepted Christ, this is the day. This is the hour of salvation. It's not doing anything. It's just accepting a free gift. The gift of God is salvation. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So how about you? What are you depending on for eternity? We're all going to pass off the scene. We're all going out into eternity. If the Lord be not come. Those of us that have received Christ, we are assured a place in heaven. He's gone there to prepare a place for us, that we might be with him and like him forever and forever. But if we're not the Lord's, if we've never received Christ, we don't possess eternal life. We're dead in trespasses, dead in sins, and we're on our way out of this land into a place prepared for the devil and his angels, hell. We've trivialized the word hell. It becomes a swear word. It's lost perhaps the reality of what it is. But there's still a hell. It's still at the end of every Christ-rejecting life. It was prepared not for you. God, in a sense, has prepared a heaven for you to be with his Son. But if you reject the free gift of grace, you reject the Lord Jesus and say, I won't have this man reign over me, you'll go out into hell. Sad, sad the story. Hell. Let me quote. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfurl their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor shift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Another hymn. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Do you have an anchor? Do you have a harbor? Do you have a captain in your life? This is a day of salvation. This is the day you could receive Christ as your Savior. He passed from death to life, from darkness to light. He that hath the Son hath life. God has given all he can give. He can't give any more. He gave the best that he had
Lord Jesus came to be our Savior. He died on that cross that we might have life. He paid the price for our sins. I was reading a book by Max Lucado. He made reference of the Lord on the cross. And he said, I have to smile. He said, that thief is walking on the golden streets of heaven while all those people that were anxious to see the Lord crucified are in hell now. And the same as can be said of us. We sinners of the deepest dye can have a ticket to heaven. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. If you've never taken Christ, this is the day. Behold, now is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. To receive him, to know him, whom to know is life eternal. May God help you to re-examine yourself, to examine yourself whether you really have Christ as your Savior. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of gifts, all gifts in one. We thank you for the fact that you gave your Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For our Father, we thank you for that gift of gifts, all gifts in one. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this scene and dying upon that cross for us. We pray that each person in this room can say, he died for me. I know him as my Savior. Lord, we just ask that your word might be blessed in our hearts today. And this day may be the beginning of life for any who have never have accepted you as their own personal Savior. For we ask in your Son's name, the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I know you don't seem to be ever singing hymns here.